Ooh, yeah.
Yep.
Hey, guys, what if Cronenberg did a Muppet movie?
Well, I really stole the thunder on that one, huh? Well,
no. This is the thing, though. I you guys said, hold on, we should be recording for this when I made that comment.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I didn't have anything else. I was just, I was like,
that,
I'm so
that
I'm,
eight
I'm,
seconds was your time to really brainstorm.
Yeah, dude.
I'm so glad that Seth stepped over it now. And it's like, yes, yeah, Seth, what if?
Oh, well, I'm not. Well, I'm not a Cronenberg fan, so I guess you horror boys should probably. Well, other than of course, Baby Cronenberg, who did that movie with the mind fucking.
Little baby Brandon.
Yeah, sure.
Brandon Cronenberg.
Brandon Cronenberg. Oh.
I wonder when.
Oh, what a cute movie you made, Brandon.
Oh, look at you! You infiltrate somebody else's brain.
I haven't seen that.
I have a text file of like movies I hear about that aren't out yet that I have to like track down at some point. Mm. And that has been on the list for like years.
Infinity
Pool. It's called Infinity Pool. It's the new
That's Brandon's new movie.
Oh,
Brandon. Oh, don't want to play me in the pool. It's dangerous.
Don't worry, Tommy. We will watch him.
Whoa, we didn't baby save the pool.
Swimming is the new sex, my dad told me.
So apparently,
I love that. This is a spectacular cold open.
Apparently, in the full unrated cut, the full fat cut of that movie, Infinity Pool. Apparently, there's a scene of Alexander Skarsgård like legitimately ejaculating on camera, like unsimulated.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Brandon hitting the ground running, Jesus!
Yeah, wow. He's like, "Oh, Dad, I saw your early movie Rabid, and I thought, you know what, not fucked up enough."
Yeah, I mean that's a good call on his part though. Like cast a Skarsgård because they got a weird dark edge to them for sure. Like
Alexander loves being a weirdo in movies. I'll give him that.
I think it's because he's so good looking and kind of was mainstream there for a little bit. And I think he hates that. I think he's trying to go the other way.
Well, he's really good looking, but he's also like really menacing looking. Not the same way that Bill is. Bill is menacing looking in that he looks like Pennywise, because
he looks
like a
carnival gone wrong. Yes.
Yeah.
Here's
Alexander just looks like someone who would assault you.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
he has sure. played multiple times.
So. Oh, yeah.
True. My big question here is, you shooting ropes or?
I don't
yeah,
know.
How's that load?
I haven't seen it.
Hashtag show us the load.
Load cut. Yeah. Release
somebody,
the load cut.
Somebody called Zack Snyder. We got to get some real good eyes on this.
Donald Logue. Donald Logue load.
Oh,
yeah.
I do love Donald Logue. Yeah. So yeah, I haven't seen Infinity Pool yet.
Yeah, what? It's like out, I think, right? Or no?
Yeah, I think
it was in theaters. I don't know if it still is.
Oh, it's already.
Sort of a limited. Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
it wasn't
shit.
A long release.
Speaking of theaters, Duck just texted me that there's a thing posted on the Regal in that apparently is not actually closing, that they applied for a liquor license. I was like, okay, baby's back.
Zach's life is about to get a little more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I usually just like illegally drink in a Regal theater, but now I can do it on the up and up, and that's, you know, like, why not? Yeah.
And I never drink in movie theaters anymore. I guess that's not true. I'll have a beer at the Indy from time to time, but
sure.
Lame.
I do. If we're going to watch like a Marvel movie, I'll take a flask and put it in the old Pepsi Zero because, fucking who has time for Ant-Man 5? Like, yeah.
I mean, yeah, the way I got around that was by not going to see it.
Like, yeah.
I have heard rough things about,
I heard in the
Ant-Man Listomania.
Yeah, I did hear in the full fat cut that that Michael Douglas ejaculates on camera. Unsimulated.
Mm-hmm. The funnier part about what you just said was that you could barely get through it. I heard your voice go in the middle. That's way better.
Because I panicked. I was like, I don't want to do Paul Rudd. And like, I'm not going to do Jonathan Majors. And
thinking about Michael Douglas'
septuagenarian
load is... I don't know.
It's I think the adjective you're looking for is dusty.
Oh, dusty ropes.
Gets halfway through the arc and then just floats away.
Oh, it's like a mushroom shooting out spores.
He's so old that his urethra isn't rifled, it's smooth bore.
Just, it comes out conically instead of straight.
It's really hard to predict where it will go.
He's got a blunderbuss in his pants.
Yep. Don't stand in front of old Mike. He is a loose cannon, quite literally.
It's good for squirrel shot. It's not necessarily good for anything else.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes on date night with Catherine Zeta, he's just leaving a trail behind him because it just falls out now.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He doesn't put enough wadding into his dick.
Yeah. And he's old, so he wears really loose pants, so it just hits the ground.
Match. Yeah.
Running.
Oh, God.
That's why I'm Brandon.
Oh, Brandon, no.
Oh, no. I feel like none of this is usable.
No, it's not.
I mean,
I bet my dad could make weirder movies than your dad.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
One,
two, three, seven, eight, nine, five.
Three? That's terrible. We got to do that again. It's going to be bad.
Okay.
One,
two, three, seven, eight, nine, five.
You're the one who has to be somewhere.
Like, it is funnier the second time for some reason. I don't know.
I don't know.
Fuck. I hate to admit it, but.
Okay, all right. Sure. Yeah.
One,
two,
three,
seven, eight, nine, five.
Buddy. Do we start or do I have to?
No, you should start. You should start. We have.
Okay, welcome back then. Hammer it up. Welcome back to Faking Movies episode. What's the episode number, Seth? Two.
I know what it is. Do you?
I was trying to get you to sing again.
Oh. 255-7895.
Yeah, it's 255.
Okay.
Yep. Seth, right before we started here, yeah. Seth said to us, "Hey guys, we should get started because I actually promised my partner to be done by a certain time." We're like, "Oh yeah, no problem." And then he proceeded to purposely fuck up our count in so many times, like
#. We did it all for the goofs. Like that is the life,
it's
right?
All for the goofs. It's all for the goofs.
Yep.
So anyway, it's 2:55. Thank you for joining us as always. Thank you to Marielle for working on our Twitter at Faking Movies. She works hard and we don't. I don't got anything really this week. What's up with you guys? What do you want to talk about?
Not much.
3, 5, 7, 8, 9.
Well, I guess to part the kimono, we did our Oscars episode. That has now definitely come out. It came out
much before later. We're recording right now. You said you're not sure.
No. But yeah, I'm excited for the Oscars. I really, I feel invested in Best Picture because I watched several very good movies and several real garbage dumb movies. So. Okay.
Well, actually, I do have something now that I think about it, and it's actually connected to that.
Okay.
So now that Triangle of Sadness has been nominated. I don't think it'll win.
No.
I think the Oscars will have happened by the time this comes out. But
there is zero chance. That one's so in the middle for sure.
Yeah. Well, but now that has come out and been nominated for Best Picture, do you think it's broken the taboo on showing people pooping in movies? Like we've had things like Dumb and Dumber where Jeff Daniels has diarrhea, but we don't see the poop. We see the poop in...
guess you
in
do,
Triangle of Sadness.
Don't you? Yeah.
Do you think Mario and Luigi are going to have to like deal with poop in the new Mario movie? Because they are plumbers. Wow.
Okay. Oh, we've been getting on Lee's case for like, he's been off his game goof-wise. That is a solid A plus goof. Yeah. Great job, bud.
Solid enough to plug up a toilet.
Sure enough. Hey. Yeah.
I also, saw. What do you mean that I've been off my game lately?
You haven't, but you just and you perceive that you have, and then you've been like jawing back at us because we give you any shit at all for your goofs.
Yeah, I didn't ask for notes.
We're in your head, but you're mostly in your own head. Is the thing.
Oh, it's like when I golf.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
or like when you write a movie that's actually Star Wars.
Ah, we're back. Yeah. I have seen. Did like a trailer or something come out for Mario? Something came out, and I watched it, and it was
there was a trailer. A couple
bad. Yeah, yeah.
And there was some Mario Karting, and there was some Bowser. You know,
yeah. It just seems like I mean Seth was making Sonic jokes through the entire Oscars episode, but
like Sonic.mpreg or
oh. Was that a different time?
I believe you.
I live in a constant fugue state. I have no idea.
Oh, I think you were talking about all the cool movies that came out this year, and I probably just kept saying Sonic and maybe...
I do remember this now. Yeah.
That for sure happened.
Maybe Sonic / Shrek Mpreg.
This is not a hot take on the Mario movie, but like imagine the meetings where somebody's like, so Sonic was bad but made a fuckload of money. Let's do a Mario. And like they're still... And the entire universe went like, mm-mm. Nope. No.
I don't know. I think the websites that like the entertainment websites I read are for nerds, and people seem to be excited about the Mario movie. They're sad about the voice acting, but they're excited for the movie.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Fair enough. I don't know.
Now, will there be poop?
Yeah. Will there be actual cartoon excrement?
Do they have the balls to put poop in this movie?
Yeah. Right, exactly. I was wondering if we're gonna see Mario's dick.
Right,
or maybe he'll get a Blumpkin. Who knows?
I think it's not a Lars von Trier, right? I think he's not.
It's not. Okay. I don't think because it's like even in Mario Odyssey, one of the outfits you can change Mario into is like boxers, classic white boxers with hearts on them.
Yeah, right.
And it doesn't matter how you angle that camera; you can't see up the leg.
Yeah,
we've all tried. Also, what's Toad packing? What's the genitalia situation on Toad?
Yeah,
we would love to know.
It's a fascinating conundrum.
It is.
Yeah. It's a biology unlike my own, I imagine.
Anyway. I mean, nobody really understands fungi, let's be honest. Like, I mean,
that is true. Yeah. I hear they like rule the entire universe and they are more than the other kingdoms, but like we have no idea what they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're also great at a party. A fun guy.
I thought you were making a mushroom joke. So we're back to that thing where Lee's in his own head.
I also thought that you were gonna make like a psilocybin joke, and it turns out that it wasn't.
Okay.
That wouldn't be that fun at a party, though. I have to say. Moving
depends on the kind of party.
Well, yeah,
a sad one where everybody plays Bauhaus and the lights are turned very way down low.
Bela Lugosi's dead.
Yeah. That's mushrooms in my this is why I have never done mushrooms is because that's what I imagine.
Nothing.
Like.
No, nothing. No, that's not what I experienced either. I had a grand old time. Like
I've had some wonderful fun times. One time I thought I was in The Hobbit.
Yeah, I
see. That sounds cool until it's that scary face
through,
part.
Like, I was like walking through the woods leisurely with a bunch of friends, and we were all barefoot, and we ended up in a farmer's field, which is probably why I thought I was in The Hobbit.
Well, yeah. Again, that sounds delightful. I feel like I'd be trapped in the hell that is my own brain for untold amounts of time.
No. You just need to be like outside, other than I did do it on election night. 2020, and I remember seeing small child drop a red rubber ball into the street in slow motion, and it was a pretty major street, and I was like, I'm gonna watch a death, huh? and then it didn't actually transpire that way. Time was just dilated, but
it really messes with your reaction.
Then I remember watching there was a leaf hopper on one of my plants inside, and I was just staring at it, and I could see it pooping out honeydew over and over again. And it's like, huh,
And that's then it morphed into the Mara movie, and you were like, I knew there was poop in this.
Yeah, I knew it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, do you think, it's pretty fun.
Do you think Mario, so like, in Mario 2, obviously,
perhaps Mario the best is Mario.
Wait, the game or the movie?
The game.
I think the upcoming movie is technically Mario 2, yeah.
I guess so.
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah. In the game, you know, that's when they introduce the different skill sets. So, like, Luigi's taller and can jump higher. Mario's more of an all-arounder, you know, he's a little bit of a tank. Do you think Mario's...
that's not what an all-arounder means, by the way, but that's fine.
Whatever. Do you think Mario's got more, like, a girthy situation and Luigi is long... In pipe terms, you know?
I think Mario's obviously a chode, and Luigi is bent.
You gotta, like, mix them up. I think you gotta flip them just for the, like, shock factor, you know?
Okay, that's fine.
Interesting. All right. I respect that.
Now, are their dicks made out of copper?
We're saying this like there's not a lot of slash fic that has, like, very much covered this thing. Like,
it's already out there.
It exists. Like, the canon is real, for sure.
I could just look this up.
Yeah.
Like,
man. The also, community has decided. That's not what
canon means. But,
no.
Like,
well, you guys are all...
It's Luigi's
all...
dick, mostly. That was a delayed laugh. All right,
wow,
cool.
Yeah, no, it also took me a second, but wow, yeah. Good one.
Thanks.
So, Zach's faking a movie this week.
Hey,
yeah, I think it's a good time to get into that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, Seth's got to get out under a time limit, and boy howdy, you done fucked yourself on that one.
Oh, with the
cast that you gave me.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Well, and being us generally, but yeah.
I have written some computer science code, let's say, in my life, and there's more punctuation in this thing than anything I see on a daily basis.
Seth literally said that when he ran this.
Yeah.
Seth always, as is the custom, Seth will chop and screw a cast, and he runs them by me first to see. Yeah. Mm. See if I have any comments.
To get some punch up, yeah.
You had no notes on this
file? Oh, no, he had notes. He had notes. But.
Okay. I had one note.
Yeah.
But Seth even said, you know, the only reason I think Zach will be able to read this is because he's a computer scientist.
Yeah, I could find a compiler that this would, like, definitely pass, like, syntax portion.
Could you just put this into a program and see if it runs?
Yeah, just...
what if it just prints out, like, a dot matrix printout of nude Mario poop? Like,
oh,
well, then I'd know that there was a god. So.
Yeah, geez, and God is in fact 1 million
a dance floor.
Oh, I was thinking that he was 1 million chimpanzees typing Mario's pooping.
Yes.
I thought God was a glass coffee table, and life is us underneath it, and the universe is Mario pooping.
Oh, okay. The entire universe
is a Cleveland steamer?
A John McAfee
joke.
Sorry,
a glass bottom boat. Excuse me. A glass bottom boat. Sorry. Wow.
Get your maybe fake things right. Like,
oof, badoof. Okay.
All right, yeah. Zach. What is your movie?
My movie is called California Split, which I thought initially is like, it's too specific, it's going to suck, but like... No, like genuinely love this title, turns out. Yeah. Okay, here we go. We're starting with a parenthesis, predictably. So, oh my God, George, that seagull just stole my fries. There are six parentheses in that sentence.
Oh, it takes me back to Ocean City.
Yeah, sure does. The wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's George Segal? Segal? From
Segal, yeah.
Segal, okay. Mm-hmm. And this one I think is unintentional. Oh, no, I see what you did. Okay, it's Elliot, open parenthesis, comma, confusing. But I get what you were doing. It's, yeah.
All right.
Elliot.
Stage direction.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. Yeah, the stage direction that I needed comes after this, which is like sloppy if I have to be honest. But so it's Elliot, I'll be right here, and then the note is must be voiced like E.T. the extraterrestrial must point to Elliot's heart with his lit up finger, which I guess let's pretend I'm doing.
And there's a close of three different kinds of parentheses.
So we have the brackets, we have curly braces, and then a parenthetical.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Gould Bond medicated powder. So that's a real before and after. Love
yeah,
that.
Like, yeah.
That is expertly
crafted. We should write for Jeopardy.
Maybe the other one.
That's the clue, and then people go before and after. I forget how this game works.
Yeah. Why is there so much punctuation? Yeah. Okay.
That was Elliot Gould.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me. I didn't even read this one.
Elliot Gould, who I often think of as the film version of George Segal, and I think of George Segal as the TV version of Elliot Gould.
They have a similar aura.
Did a lot of both. Like.
Yeah. But no, they have a similar thing going on. This is really good. I did not read this beforehand. I just skipped over it. Jeff Goldblum medicated powder. It's really good.
I really love that one for the simplicity and the repetition.
It's a callback in literal
seconds. To the previous word.
Yeah. Fuck me. Oh, I thought my movie was good, but it can't hold a fucking candle to this.
There almost couldn't be fewer words between the callback and the initial
Well, and the gold is the first part, like the bloom. Yeah. It's just so good. It's perfect. God damn, Seth, you are a master at this.
Okay. Well, if only I could apply this skill literally anywhere.
Yeah, write Hollywood put movies this on a resume.
Yeah, that is tough. I did read the notes for this one, so I think it's, and I had to look up the video for this one just to be 100% sure, but I think it's that's gotta be Kane. Hotter?
Close. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't Kane understand Hotter. This one. That was a Lee note.
Oh, it's a famous wrestling thing from what I can tell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on top of the cage and Kane comes
in. Yeah, it's when Kane debuted at Hell in the Cell at Bad Blood 97. And
Wait.
He walks down to the ring and he rips the door off of the cell. And
he's a big old bitch. Yeah.
And Vince McMahon yells, "That's gotta be Kane."
Oh, that's Vince. Now, I did not clock that. Okay.
Yeah, he used to be the announcer. Now Kane is the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, and is an anti-vaxxer and an anti-trans person and a conspiracy theorist. And he keeps winning in landslides.
You know, I was just going to ask, why does wrestling seem to do that to these people? But it's either the
combat sports,
brain trauma, sports in or general. Just it attracts that kind of person in the first place.
Like the worst are the MMA people, like by far.
Or, I don't know, the NFL. it happens a lot.
No, I meant like for like per capita Q people.
Sure.
Yeah.
It attracts that kind of troublesome person.
Yeah, yeah, it attracts, shall we use the short form, Kyles.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
A lot of preferentially fighting the drywall in your formative days.
The drywall sure in enough, our minds.
Sure. Yep. Okay.
Now I want a cover of Windmills in Our Minds from the Thomas Crown Affair, but about Kyles and drywall.
Now, what would that sound like, would you say?
The drywall in our minds.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, you did it. I thought there'd be more,
but okay. Fair enough.
Well, I have to, like, I need time.
Well, yeah.
Sure. Okay, yeah, so let's sum up 7 minutes very quickly. It's George Segal, Elliot Gould, Bloomers, and Kane Hodder. Jason himself.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Whenever I see a later career Elliot Gould performance and I think he's being cheeky, I like to turn to my partner and go, "He's being so Elliot Gould-ish right now."
Wow.
It's another one of those.
She usually ignores me when I do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to text her real fast and go, "Keep up the good work."
Thanks. Okay. Zach tested, kid approved, or whatever.
But seriously, if I were single, if I lived alone at this point in my life,
I can't imagine. I
would never get a security deposit back. It would just be scrawling on the walls, just like insanity constantly.
The number 23 is your entire existence. Yeah,
I just listened to that episode of How This Got Made today.
Sure.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. I saw that movie opening night with former guest Manny.
Right on.
Curious.
Good shit. Mm-hmm. All right. So George Segal. Oh, right. We did that thing. Okay. I have two faileds. that one I'm psyched about and one I think is quite dumb. So first one, a new method for divorce. You do mentally and emotionally split, but not physically or cohabitation-wise because it's so goddamn expensive to live in California. So you continue living with your spouse out of convenience and like it's the hijinks that ensue. It's kind of like 80s sitcom, I guess. Like it's,
I like that. Yeah. I could see that being a Neil Simon play. Like,
isn't sure.
Isn't that also the Jennifer Aniston?
Using it as the breakup.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, isn't that sort of the premise
I think
of
they
that?
Do is that a real thing? Live together for part of it, and then they. Okay. Split up and then get back together at the end. Okay. I think.
I don't know.
It also it happens in What to Expect When You're Expecting. Her and Ben Affleck's characters, something similar happens.
It felt a little hollow, so moved on.
Dick in Hollow Knight, not Hollow Knight. Yeah. Hollow Man.
Or Mario's canonically.
Yeah.
As of right
or
now.
Or Michael Douglas's, as we discussed before the show.
That's true.
Yeah, that'll be on a clip show at some point. Yeah. Look forward to that.
It's dropping right out of him.
Oof. Okay, the one that I think I came up with first and is obviously nothing. A crazy, unheard of bowling move where you have the 7-pin in one lane and the 10-pin in an adjacent lane. And no one has ever hit this before, nor is it a legal bowling thing at all.
So you have to ricochet the ball.
Yeah, you gotta bounce it through the gutter and over the other gutter and then into
like
the other
pool
lane.
Pool trick shots.
Yeah.
You know,
it is. Yeah, this is like some Korean guy has a YouTube video of this for
and
sure.
And you use a 6-pound ball because...
Oh, you have to. Yeah, it's got to fly through the air.
It's got to literally fly 15 feet across the goddamn... Yeah,
Yes.
I've got your tagline. This summer, you'll believe a ball can fly.
Right. Yeah, okay, there you go. It's perfect. Except it is nothing. So,
yeah, there's not a lot going on there.
It does not a movie make. Moved on from that one.
Unless you anyway, do Kingpin again.
Well, that was the onus, but... there's
a
lot more
going
on.
7-10 split in that movie, so
famously, yeah. I bet that doesn't hold up. That used to be a very heavy rotation movie for me, and I haven't seen it in probably 15 years.
The thing I've heard from people on other podcasts, because like I've heard Kingpin come up a few times recently, is like, man, what a great script, which feels like a very specific type of praise.
Sure, that's fair. Okay. On to the real thing. It's a little long, but I like it, I think.
Okay.
So, here we
go. It's okay, because my synopsis of the real movie, I think, is very short.
Yeah.
For a very specific reason.
Okay. It's an Aqua Teen Hunger Force episode?
No.
Okay, cool. I'll never forgive you guys for that. All right. So I think we can all agree that the country currently is more politically polarized than ever.
You're telling me, brother.
Right, exactly. California is perhaps a perfect microcosm of this whole thing. So,
is California going to secede and be their own country?
Would you fucking relax? No, not technically, but goddamn.
Is there going to be a civil war in California where it splits into two?
All right, everybody calm the fuck down.
Is the San Andreas going to crack open and there's going to be two states of California?
All right.
Oh, is this actually Demolition Man?
Why do I do this thing at all?
Let's go to Taco Bell.
God,
it's the only thing to survive the franchise wars, after all.
Seth, don't murder, death, kill yourself.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right, fair enough.
Don't forget to use the 3 seashells.
We're in of that universe-ish. Yeah. So you've got
Mario will use them.
Your
man, imagine what that does to the plumbing system. Just all those seashells in there? Like
waste outlet has to be very different than the human one.
It's gonna aggregate though. Holy shit, you're basically gonna make shale down there. Well, at least I will, given the amount of fat that I consume.
Sure, I tell you,
lots and lots of kale in the last few days, and there's some shale in my toilet, and it doesn't stand for rocks. It's an apostrophe in there.
Shame kale? Yeah.
Shit and kale.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Zach, you should definitely start your movie.
Yeah,
God damn, I wish that was at all possible,
Well, we're in a good tonight. All right.
So, again, California is sort of, it represents this in like a smaller scale. So you've got your liberal Hollywood elites and your pleasantly heterogeneous racial demographics down in the South. And then your methed up, might as well be Arkansas, off the grid types up in Sacktown and surrounding areas where they grow weed, but they hate hippies. Nothing makes sense.
And you're like, you're fucking shitty conservative almond farmers who are stealing water from everyone and then blaming other people for
we live so far from the Colorado River, but it's ours. Like, it's definitely ours. Like,
And tilapia farmers in the desert.
Yeah. To go,
that's fucking wild. Is that real?
Yeah.
How much whitefish do we need?
Like, well, have you ever been to a goddamn Long John Silver's, sir?
Oh, man, I miss Long John Silver's.
Yeah, we used to live in a town that had one, and I went more than I'd care to admit.
I love that waffle batter, man.
It was good.
Yeah, man. Fucking waffle batter.
There's like, there's a time and a place, and that time is always, and that place is my belly.
Yeah. I remember Lee and I were on a road trip at one point, and we like stopped into one because we were like, hey, this is the first one we've seen in ages.
Yep.
It's
we were visiting Zach on our way back.
Right on.
Weird. Anyway, okay. Zach, continue your movie. I don't understand why you're delaying so much.
So this year it's a gubernatorial election year, and there's a long shot third party candidate. I think it's Bloomers because he's young and idealistic, and he has definitely a face for politics, obviously.
Yeah.
Especially compared to the rest of the people in this movie, or the people that you gave me. So he runs to no great initial fanfare, but seeing that it's obviously hopeless, he nuts up and does what Andrew Yang didn't have the ovaries for and decides to take a goddamn swing for the
fans. I was going to say, he did what Andrew Yang couldn't do, which was have coherent policies.
Yeah.
Andrew Yang is very proud. I'm not endorsing Andrew Yang in any way, but like, he did kind of, he tried to do this thing where he's like, I'm the other guy that is like really gonna like really do a different thing. And he didn't, because you can't win A and B. Like, he was kind of misguided in the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't know. The last time someone tried to do that was Ross Perot, and then he was in the lead and then he panicked and then went to the middle and then lost.
Yeah. This, yes, this may come up. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Is Goldblum going to find the Magna Carta?
Fucking.
Okay, sorry.
That'd be weird if that was in my movie.
Is the ghost of Eugene V. Debs going to give him tips? Because he ran for president once and was very successful.
Yeah, I mean, he almost beat Truman, if I'm not mistaken.
He didn't almost beat him, but he did pretty good.
Okay.
And also, that was way earlier. And also, I was thinking of Upton Sinclair, who ran for governor of California and was basically going to win until he got smeared really bad by the main political parties.
Fucking politics, am I right? This comes into play. So, Bloomers goes on CNN or whatever news thing, talking to presumably Elliot Gould, because he looks like an old guard reporter, like... I guess casting him as like a Brokaw type or something, but like that doesn't really make sense. But anyway, he's the guy. Does one of these once in a generation interviews that people talk about for like years to come. It's not the usual canned bullshit and surprises everybody. So he declares that his platform is to split the state directly in twain. So like, I don't know if you guys remember.
Like geographically, not.
Yes. Yeah. You guys surely remember that Dakota couldn't agree on fucking anything, and then they split, and they got their own sovereignties, and now everything is, like, way more chill. So he's proposing that for California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, that joke did not land at all.
I didn't know it was supposed to be a joke.
I thought you were talking about North and South Dakota, which
has... Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yes. Okay. So... so now it's California's turn. We're doing
now. You know how I feel all the time.
I know. Oh God, I am inside your head. I'll try to be nicer from now on, I guess.
In your head.
It does hurt.
In your head.
Right. So Elliot laughs. He's stunned.
Exactly.
Thank you. I was trying to come up with a different thing to say, and I couldn't. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like I was being polite, but really, I just didn't have a joke.
Elliot laughs. I made up for it with the cranberries.
He's stunned, and then he realizes that, oh shit, this is my meal ticket. I'm part of this situation that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. I can capitalize on this.
Hell yeah.
I'm the two-state candidate.
Yes. So Elliot becomes his de facto mouthpiece because he understands the balance between like the lunacy that is this play and also the like presentation decorum sort of thing, because you know he's in
doing the like traditional politics stuff, but also like, hey, this is what you're actually trying to do.
So. Yeah, trying to ride the train that is this like now like hot news item. Yeah.
So, come on, ride the train.
And ride
karate.
It. Oh, okay.
Did they say and ride it? I always thought they said karate.
Why?
Why would they say karate? Lee.
I mean, now that I hear you say and ride it, it makes so much sense.
Why would you say karate?
Because it's a cool word.
Well, you got us there.
You got me there.
Because this is a movie and it has to go somewhere, surprise, Bloomers wins. Everybody is doing that thing that Trump voters mistakenly alleged to be doing and actually voted in the quote-unquote new guy who's going to shake shit up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's some obvious back and forth about the, like, wait, can you even do this thing? Like, is it legal?
Like, well, it's like, which state would you represent? Mm-hmm. Like, do we just have to have two full elections?
Exactly.
Like,
there's a lot of logistical problems that nobody's really entirely sure about that. Bloomers is steadfast and he demands that we just do it. The problems will make themselves known and they'll sort themselves out in due time. If we do too much planning, like, we're going to get bogged down in the bureaucracy of the whole thing and, like, it's going to fuck everything up. So, like, let's just power through and, like, do this thing. George Siegel is our mainstay politician. He's the guy that was, I guess, running against him. So.
I figured he's got a face.
Yeah, he's a real Count Dooku, if you will.
Yeah, kind of. Mm, yeah. Uh-huh. He, despite being the enemy, he is, like, the voice of reason in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is super-duper unhinged and, like, completely insane. Mm-hmm. But, like, everybody is already on the train. The train has left the station, so we're doing this karate. Fucking split the thing. Yes, come on, ride it, and karate. Yeah. So, they split. The thing happens. New governments and logistical bits are formed on both sides. Mm-hmm. They're splitting north and south, of course. And the results are, like, predictable politically. So Bloomers takes the leadership in the south part, in the, like, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego bit. And Kane Hodder is the libertarian nightmare winner in North California. Because he has the look for it, you know?
Yeah, you do. Like, you sure do. And and Kane the wrestler is a libertarian.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Color me surprised.
All right, this all tracks pretty well.
So for a bit, it seems like things are going, like, kind of okay, and everybody's kind of getting what they want, and everybody's kind of surprised that, like, this is okay in the short term. But just then, out of fucking nowhere, we smash cut to Paul Giamatti
with the chair coming in.
Yep.
That's gotta be Giamatti.
Yep. Paul Giamatti at the USGS California headquarters, and what? Oh my god, earthquakes are popping up everywhere along the San Andreas fault line that runs latitudinally through the entire goddamn state.
Uh-huh.
Holy shit, things were just starting to look up, and whoa, it's like actually spreading. Oh my god, California is torn asunder east to west.
Yep. So now there's four Californias.
Uh-huh. And I put a note in here, so just so it's clear, we're going to, like, save a lot of money here and just take footage from San Andreas, the movie, and,
recut it
for this. So, like, you can use the
film Volcano, also starring...
No, I mean, Paul Giamatti is literally a geologist in the movie San Andreas.
This is already filmed. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. All right. Wow.
So you're really sweeting
you
it.
You really thought ahead. Damn.
Listen.
That's a great job.
Sharks.
10, 10, 10. Holy shit. Wow. Yep. Saving the studio money, saving us money on the writing. Holy shit.
Trying. Mm. Okay. So that's a bummer because now we had two Californias. That felt like a lot. And now we have four goddamn Californias. So way more than we bargained for. The new factions split into the Coastals and the Landies. So it's like the Sharks and the Jets, but with, like, way more rad names.
Love it.
Yep.
Coastals and Landies, they're the raddest, Zach.
Hey,
wicked rad. Yeah.
Way wicked rad, dude. Lee,
thank you.
You have no idea.
So, like, is one, I love that we get to pick names now for everything.
That's what I was thinking. One of the
quadrants is one of the quadrants just going to be like Big Bear, like
right, exactly. Like it, yes, this is the fun part until you realize, like, oh no, but like, how do I get the post office? Like, yeah, like everything sort of.
How am I going to get my tilapia?
Sure, that's down in the Southlandies.
Oh,
I can't.
Oh no, where am I going to get my almond crusted tilapia?
Well, that's in the North Coastals. It's a fucking.
Where am I going to get my lemon basted almond crusted tilapia?
Weirdly, that's everywhere. I don't know how that happened.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Where am I
going
to get my California Pizza Kitchen? You have to go to an airport for that.
Yeah, or like any mall ever.
Or
yeah.
like anywhere in the Midwest / East, because that's where I see them.
Yep. Okay. Obviously, everyone is quite shaken from this whole event. It seems like no one can come to any consensus.
Shaken from the earthquake?
I mean, pretty much.
You know, it's funny, because things are shaken and a bit stirred up.
Yes, literally.
What is that joke, though?
It's shaken, not stirred.
Yeah, but like, what does that actually have to do with the plot at all?
Well, because everything's shaken because the earthquakes, the politics and stuff is stirred up because it's all.
But you're making a James Bond reference here. So
do you guys have meetings before we do this and go like, how far do you think we go? Like
we just needle them,
I have 1.5 paragraphs. It seems like no one can come to any consensus on anything anymore.
Sure.
In this extremely trying time where every like something actually needs to be done now because there's like a geological and geographical like nightmare situation
there's
that's happening.
Literally a chasm between the quadrants, or at least
like actual problems now. So we'll skip through the inevitable like downward spiral of everything. But suffice it to say, after the rift splits, the absurdity of the whole categorization thing really takes hold, and as often happens, people run with the general trend that there's like further and further arbitrary fracturing to be had. Like, no, I don't agree with that thing, so I'm my own thing now, and like that whole bullshit,
Little sovereign citizens and stuff,
kind of. Yeah. So
they
guess
all feel empowered to do their bullshit because
and no one can agree
is doing it
on
now,
literally anything. So it gets to the point that truly nothing can be done, and we're in like near apocalyptic mode where everybody really needs to help each other, like because everything is bad, to sustain life. But instead of doing that, everyone's doing a gotta look out for number one thing, and basically nothing happens. Like everything is bad. So in the end, Bloomers realizes that he wanged it real hard and his experiment has gone terribly awry. And he realizes that it's up to him to unfuck this entire situation that he like, got us all into. So we end up doing a we're not so different after all thing, where people realize that getting overly caught up in the like identity politics and like, you know, labeling stuff and whatever is meaningless if you forget to like actually see the forest for the trees and like affect any actual positive change or really do much of anything at all. Like everybody's arguing about meaningless bureaucratic bullshit. The different views
all dying. So.
Right, exactly, yeah. So the differing views is, like, truly what makes anything balanced in any way, and generates discussions and all of that, and they sort of forgot that and all went to their own separate corners, and, like, that is sort of what can be helpful in politics at some time. Like, not in our current lifetime, but, like, can be sometimes. So in the end, everyone has a moment of clarity led by Bloomers, and they all sort of agree to take a mulligan on the whole split California thing. And they all go back and, like, there's a happy ending, kind of forgetting about the fact that, like, part of California, like, floated off into the ocean. But, like, whatever. Yeah.
Is there, like, a super cool boxing match between Goldblum and Kane Hodder and, like, sort of, like, to reunify everything? I don't know. That sounds like a really fun thing to me.
It does. In principle,
Because it's all about the speed versus the bulk.
Yeah. I was going to say, the casting that I did there is not super good. I'd rather watch Elliot Gould and George Segal box. That sounds...
Oh, cool. Yeah. I guess that makes sense, but
they They seem pretty evenly matched.
It's not as big of a dichotomy, right? It's about the unifying separation. Yeah.
Boxing's more fun to watch when they're evenly matched.
You don't want to watch a guy die, which is a thing that does happen a lot in boxing.
That does happen.
Yeah. I guess sort of my like pop version of it that is very like anime based, just like there's this weird scrawny dude who's super fast and there's this big hulking guy who could definitely cave in his skull,
sure,
but is too slow, even though that's not actually accurate.
In real life, I think that goes kind of differently.
This
is more of a you're thinking more along pro wrestling than boxing. If we're doing combat sports situations,
you want there to be
those all the time.
You need some kayfabe in there for people to not die.
During the San Andreas
scene. Wait, I thought he was still married to Britney Spears. No, they definitely divorced. A while ago.
K-Fed? K-Fed was involved in wrestling back in 2006. Yeah. He has a pinfall over John Cena.
Are we all this starred for attention that we're taking swings like K-Fed, K-Fed? Like, I'm saying I'm part of this too. Like, I fully understand that I need that, but like, it is amazing that we are all coming together in this
shared
situation. You know where I live.
Yeah, it's a unified front.
I just love it. We're here for each other, and that makes me happy.
You know the depression hole I live in right now, so like, it's fine.
Sure enough.
Yeah, I can see you when I tilt my head back. you're pooping. Zach.
I'm not gonna glass bottom boat my friend Lee.
Unless he wants it.
Yeah, unless you want it. But like, even then, I don't think
I do.
Like, I don't think that's really, like, sort of the nature of our relationship in any way, shape, or form. So
it's
like,
not, and I don't think it's the nature of any relationship in my life.
Yeah,
but,
so, hard pass. Hard pass, Zach.
Okay.
One thing I was going to pitch to you, if you like it.
Yeah.
It might not be right for the tone, but during the California splitting apart scene, there is a
Which
Warren
one?
Zevon
There's
song.
At least two of those.
Well, the physical splitting.
Got it.
The geological.
There is a Warren Zevon song called Desperados Under the Eaves, and the chorus is when California slides into the ocean, like the mystics and statistics said it would.
Okay.
So like that could be a fun, like it's a nice ballad that you could play over the like craziness.
That does
sound
good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean,
great song.
I'd like to sit geologist in here and be like, nothing's going to fall into the fucking ocean. That's not how tectonics work, but you know,
but
it's
if
fine.
You've I seen, mean, it's, I mean, I borrowed very liberally from the actual extant movie San Andreas, where that thing
I think you absolutely should. Now, however, there is the Juan de Fuca plate, which contribute extensively to this sort of thing. But
okay, you can argue that in the pitch meeting. That's fine. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I will. I you know what? I'm gonna get.
In fact, we're all gonna go get lunch. If you want to outline your whole argument, you could stay behind.
Yeah, it's just gonna be me and the executive intern at whatever studio, and I'm just gonna be yelling at him about plate tectonics for like an hour and a half while you guys are like, I don't know, eating a shrimp salad or some shit.
Right.
I don't know.
This is very much by design. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, you guys, he got me. That's perfect. Yeah.
Amalgamated Fart Noise Pictures. Do we like that?
Ooh, I do like the word amalgamated.
AFP?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Why not? What about Amalgamated Fart Noise International, AFI?
Well, that's just so good.
that doesn't collide with either... really anything. Yeah, definitely not a cool band and also a cool thing that
a film related thing at all. God damn it, perfect. Got it.
What if we just call it Google?
You can come to lunch with us.
I prefer to yell at an intern about plate tectonics.
Oh, okay.
So that
cool.
That checks out for you.
Yeah, honestly. I really do.
Should we tell Zach about the real guy?
So the real guy is... So there isn't actually an IMDb. All right. Interesting.
Excuse me?
There is. Don't worry. Got it.
This is a fucking Aqua Teen episode. I'm going to be so mad.
No.
Just you wait.
Want to talk about the... Well, anyway. Get into it. Okay. So... you fellas ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Alright, Zach. So, the IMDb, I guess one sentence summary.
I just call them short summaries to avoid this issue.
Yeah, but I'm pedantic.
Seth likes to count them. It's fun.
Yeah. and interestingly, this is, I think, maybe the first time that I've seen the actor names and then they describe the character that they play.
Oh.
It's just something that I'm not used to. So anyway, California Split. Which is, geez, what year is this?
1974.
74. Mm. Oh, 75.
Wow, Goldblum must have been an infant.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not.
He has visible acne.
It is kind of nuts, actually.
Huh. That's also before Jason, so Kane Hodder was not famous at all.
So the summary is when a casual gambler, George Segal as Bill, in parentheses, befriends a professional one, Elliot Gould as Charlie, parentheses, he begins to mirror his life and sending both of them deeper into the sleazy gambling world where the stakes keep getting bigger.
Okay, so California Split is like a blackjack thing or something?
California Split is specifically a term, a not very commonly used term for really high stakes, high low 5-card poker.
Yeah. Oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Which is what they play throughout a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Including
this is before a Texas Hold'em.
I was gonna say, yeah, gambling was different back then.
Yeah. No, they do a lot of explaining the rules of high low poker.
Honestly, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you'd actually enjoy this. So.
I think you would hate this movie.
Okay. And it's from 1974, so that's like already points
against
it.
I'll give you a little bit of a longer guy.
Sure.
Yeah, all right.
Sure.
But so the reason I think you would hate this, this is the bulk of my description of the movie. There is a plot in that there's a character arc.
Yeah.
Like, we watch the character arc of George Segal through the movie, going from just like a dude who enjoys gambling and is clearly like getting sucked into it a little bit more and more into like full on life falling apart into has a huge streak and then decides he needs to walk away. And that's the movie.
Okay.
And then everything that happens during the movie are just sequences of events over the course of that character.
That's true. There is a lot of nothing.
The arc it's that you describe is pretty.
It's a hangout movie.
Mm-hmm. There is like an archetype for that. Like that describes a lot of movies. The thing you just said, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's basically the binge.
But you're a plot guy, I think. You like a plot, This has a beginning. It has a beginning. It has a destination. But there isn't so much of like. I don't think I could call it a plot.
There wasn't a journey. Really. Well, yeah, like there wasn't like a like you couldn't see things changing that much. I don't know. That's
okay.
Hmm.
So it's just a bunch of sequences where things happen. Like I really like. I was talking to Seth about this because I rewatched this movie this morning. I've seen it before. By the way, this is an Altman movie.
Yeah.
Which is why we picked it, because you just did an Altman movie.
Yeah. Altman's the new Carpenter, or maybe?
No, because Altman made like 50 movies, and a lot of them are bad.
Yeah.
And I just can't with that. Like,
Feels like we should all suffer, shouldn't we, though? Really?
I guess that's true. So it's Altman. This is the first movie that he used the like 8-track recording for like the multi-layered conversations and scenes and stuff, which really stands out.
He's been
doing the multi-layered conversations for a long time. It's just like this one is the one where he was really like, wait, there's a machine that can help me with this.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. But I really like the opening scene because it's at this like legitimate poker hall in California where like you go and it's not a gambling establishment because all you're doing is paying like rent on a chair and the house makes money on rent and then you're just gambling between yourselves and we can't stop you from doing that, you know?
Sure. But
during this scene, there's an instructional video on how to play poker and how this gambling hall works.
Interstitial between like the first, I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes of this movie.
Weird.
Yeah, okay. Elliot Gould is watching this while he's waiting for a table and like laughing at it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're saying like it's painting? It's playing in the scenery. I thought we were doing like a
no.
Like
the it's, camera it's shifts no. You basically you walk audience. into the hall and yeah. you sign up, and then it shows you this video while you
There's
wait
like a little screen
to join.
Yeah,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Does Siegel have like a backstory or
no? We'll get there. Well, okay. Gould very much doesn't. He's just like he's Charlie the gambler, basically.
Yep. That works for him. Yeah. Okay.
And his roommates are sex workers, and that's just that's him. Mm-hmm. That's his whole deal. All
right.
And those are the parts of the movie that don't work well for me because there's some kind of stuff that has not aged well.
Great from 1974, you don't say.
Yeah. You wouldn't say the sex worker stuff works well.
50 years ago?
Yeah. The thing I really like about the opening scene is like it's teaching you how to watch the movie without like it being nailed like pounded over your head that you're learning how to watch the movie.
That
so like
is cool. Yeah.
We have this like really scummy looking dude scoffing at a video talking about how like on the up and up and totally cool and fun time this poker thing is that they've
yeah.
got.
And,
like, and
anyone cutting, can learn it and they can learn
cutting
how
between
be the...
scenes of like people who are clearly like been in this chair for like 24 hours
right.
yelling at each other and fighting over like $2 bets and shit. Mm-hmm.
That feels much more like 2010 than it does like the 70s. That seems ahead of its
time. I feel like things are cyclical in that way where we're like so burned out on everything. I mean, I feel like the 1970s were absolutely similar to what we're experiencing now, where we don't think anything is ever going to get any better.
I guess that's
the
true.
Malaise era. I think we are in.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, the 70s were just coming out of Vietnam.
Jimmy Carter just went into hospice.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And
so he'll die
you know,
and be reborn. And...
Well.
Well, he gave the malaise speech.
He did.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah. Like we're all burnt out as shit. So I would say that probably
this movie's about a lot of burnt out people.
Yeah.
Relatable. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure is.
Sure. But like this is the scene like George and Elliot become friends in this scene because of like a disagreement over a poker hand and they.
I'm pretty sure Elliot is cheating, right?
No. Okay. Do we really have to get this grain?
Okay.
About it?
No.
Can I jump on Seth's side to interrupt Lee's thing at all?
Yeah.
Like, Seth, can I help here in any way? Or?
Oh, I don't care about the interruptions. I'm saying I don't think we need to like explain the scene in like minute detail.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I guess.
Fair
enough. They're playing at the same table. Elliot Gould has a disagreement with someone else. George Siegel backs him up. They become friends after the fact.
Yeah, they go meet at a bar later and are just like fucking around.
Yeah. And this is then they get robbed for the first time in the movie, which happens twice.
At least. There are like four robberies in this movie.
The next time they get robbed, it's very funny because Elliot Gould plays it as like, really? Again? Are you fucking kidding? And then he negotiates with the guy and convinces him to just take half the money this time. Like,
this is what people in San Francisco are apparently doing this now. They leave their windows down and their trunks popped so that people that would normally smash your windows and like fuck up your trunk, they can just look and see that there's nothing in the car. And they're like, we don't need to do this. Like, we're fine.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that was my strategy when I still owned a Jeep. Because I was like,
just don't want to slash the plastic windows.
Yeah, know? I just left the doors unlocked. I didn't keep anything in it except like $100 in a lockbox that was even more complicated to open.
Well,
so
there's all the rust and.
That made it difficult. Of course, they would have to like sift through the rust in order to find the $100. But
also, it was a manual. That is apparently increasingly a deterrent for theft because people
go,
what am I going to do with that?
No, I wasn't concerned about anybody stealing the car. Just like slashing open my windows.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, there's a tape deck. I guess I'm not even gonna bother.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you guys mentioned California. This is Los Angeles?
I think it takes place in LA.
Yeah, partly, yeah.
Okay.
So, and the rest of the movie is just kind of like, we see them becoming friends and going gambling together, and like George Segal goes from being like, I'm having fun gambling, to like,
I need to go gamble.
His bookie is showing up being like, I gave you an extension, what the fuck, I need my money.
Right.
Like,
yeah, the timeline is not especially clear, and
I assume it's over the course of at least a couple weeks, if not more.
I mean, like, George Segal's bookie is talking about like a year. Like a year of covering him.
I feel like you get your kneecaps broken if it goes any longer than
it almost comes to that. Okay. A couple of times, but like, so George Segal works for a magazine and he is constantly shirking work, and
Jeff Goldblum is his boss. He's like the new young boss, you know.
Are they okay, actual human ages? Are they comparable aged?
No, George, the joke is that his boss is so much younger.
Okay
like that his boss is like a 20-year-old, and he's
wouldn't
like,
have to have been,
I don't know, point. Like at least 10 years senior, maybe 10 and a half. Okay. So I don't know. It's weird. George Segal sort of has,
it's literally a one scene joke.
Yeah.
Like it's not. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum is not a person in this movie.
It would have been extremely early in his career. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the first time I watched this movie and I the scene where he, the scene that he is in, I was like, oh fuck, is that Jeff Goldblum? Like, he's not.
Yeah, this is even before Buckaroo Banzai, which is a,
by like 10 years.
But Buckaroo Banzai is still really early for him, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. Like The Fly and stuff. Oh, like, yeah. Mid-80s. Like, the mid-80s run. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely hot then, but
I think his his big rise to fame was mid-80s, and this is like,
oh, yeah, Earth Girls. So.
Well,
it
was, he
has
a, mid-80s, and then also like mid-2010s, I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's had a resurgence.
His initial rise to fame, yeah. So anyway, all these things happen. Eventually, what we end up at is George Segal is like, I need to make money. And he's like, just keeps talking. He convinces himself he's going to go on a hot streak. So him and Elliot Gould go around like pawning and selling everything they can to raise money to go to Reno to play in this high stakes poker game that George Segal heard about. Mm-hmm. And the last part of the movie is him playing in this poker game and getting increasingly annoyed at Elliot Gould, who staked half the money, but George Segal won't give him any money to gamble with. So Elliot Gould is like running around losing his mind because he has no money.
And is like trying to gamble in the casino, but
right.
George Segal is
no
like
one will let him
all the time being like, just get out of here.
Stay
dude.
Away from me.
Just get out of here.
You're throwing me off.
Yep. Okay.
And he ends up winning a shitload of money, and then he goes and plays blackjack and wins even more money, and then he goes and plays roulette and wins even more money, and then he goes and plays craps and wins even more money, and then finally, like, his streak gets broken, and they go and they cash everything in, and they win $82,000.
Oh, starting with, like I don't know, like $2,000 to begin with.
Yeah, it was a $2,000 buy-in or something, yeah. And so he's sitting there, and the end of the movie is George Segal goes to like the bar that's not open yet in the casino, and he's just standing there staring off into nothing while Elliot Gould is like celebrating, going crazy, splits the money up between him, and then he looks at him and he goes, this isn't fun for you anymore, is it? He's just like, nah, I gotta go. Yeah. And he just leaves, and that's the movie.
Yeah.
He just
leaves,
gambling.
And then Elliot Gould goes on to keep
goes
gambling.
Goes to do more gambling.
Yeah,
I wonder. So, online sports betting is very popular now. And before, they have commercials on fucking everything.
All the time, yeah.
Yes, and they have
every
to put
commercial
that
ends with, if you have gambling addiction.
Exactly, they have to put that disclaimer at the end. And I'm wondering, like, I mean, everybody sort of knows that that's a thing now, and there's...
When did it start?
Yeah, was it this? Like, was this, like, sort of new in, like, 1974?
So, when the casinos opened up in my hometown, part of their deal for opening up and getting, like, property tax breaks
in the state that we both grew up in, I remember that being a very big thing. Yeah, yeah.
Part of the deal was not only advertising help for gambling addiction, right, but funding it. And that was not a regular thing before that.
Yes.
That was part of their deal to open the casino.
And we did not grow up in the 70s, so...
Yeah. No, this happened in like the early 2000s.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
so,
yeah.
Interesting. I mean, I'm
so, like, at least at that point, it was not a requirement.
Right. Yet. Well, and like, I mean, like, many addiction things, like alcoholism, like Betty Ford was very instrumental in that. And, you know, AA started like in the 60s. And like, I'm wondering if this is hinting towards like that gambling is a vice that we
know.
Should all
like,
work
so the,
into.
The person who wrote this script, like, it is apparently explicitly about their difficulty with their own gambling addiction.
Interesting. Okay.
And the point, and it's not exactly autobiographical, but it's supposed to, at least in a way, mirror the moment when they were like, I can't do this anymore.
Sure, sure. That's actually like way more interesting. Like that seems very compelling, but yeah.
And Elliot Gould was apparently actually his gambling buddy who didn't stop gambling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well.
To the point where, like, George Segal was, while they were filming, was like, I couldn't hang out with Elliot between takes because he was like, he lives in that world.
Sure, sure, sure.
Like, this is him.
That is weird. Like, if you're filming in these, like, poker rooms or whatever, and then, like, Elliot's, like, going back after they're filming, it's just like, no, I want to do this thing. Yeah. That's.
Well, and they do, there's a lot of stuff at the racetrack and things like that.
Sure, sure.
There's a really funny racetrack scene.
Oh, my favorite scene. It's my favorite scene.
Yeah. It's got to be up there.
So they, Elliot Gould meets George Segal at the racetrack, and while he's on the bus to get there, he convinces some woman to not bet on a particular horse.
On the long shot that she wanted.
On the long shot. She's like, oh, I want to bet on this long shot. And she's like, don't do that. That's stupid.
That's not a good strategy if you're a degenerate like I am.
Yeah.
Explain to her all the things about why she shouldn't do it.
And then they, like Elliot Gould and George Segal.
As soon as George Segal gets there, he's like, we got to bet on this
horse.
They
bet on that horse. And the horse.
And he explains all the reasons why. And it's the opposite of what he told the woman.
Exactly. And they end up winning and like get a real big payout, and then they're like celebrating all their shit, and as they're like heading down the escalator out of the thing, this woman is like, you sons of bitches, like you told me not to bet on that horse, and she just throws oranges at them.
And George Segal yells, hey lady, you can't do that. You can't throw oranges on an escalator.
It's like, stop throwing these oranges. And it's like my favorite scene in this movie. And it's so perfect because it's like just George Segal being like high on just winning like an enormous amount of money comparatively.
There is no universe. I know that there's, there may be infinite universes where everything has happened in every possible connotation. There's no way that in any universe when this movie, any universe where this movie exists, there's no way that that scene was being filmed and that line was scripted.
Yeah. Right.
He definitely, is the one constant in every universe is that he ad-libbed, you can't throw oranges on an escalator.
That's one of those where like the director called cut, and then the DP turned to the director and went, that's fucking weird, right?
Yeah, right.
It's great, too.
I guess we'll see if it works.
She then throws her empty purse at him, and they're at the bottom of the escalator by that point. And he's like, you want to throw things? And he runs halfway up the escalator and whiffs, and he just basically
just
throws the purse right back into the ground. Like, and she yells, you can't even throw.
I mean, that's realistic,
very,
I guess.
It's like, all, like, beautifully.
It's very funny.
Viscerally like shitty, the kind of things that drunk gamblers would be doing.
The one of the things I like, because this is fairly early in their relationship, this is like the second time they hang out, is the energy is so different. Like Elliot Gould's energy is drunk, shitty, like, tricked her. I'm going to get out of here. George Segal's drunk shittiness is, oh, this is so cool. Wait, why are there oranges? Yeah. Like, and then as the movie goes on, their energies start to match
like,
a little
sort of,
bit.
Sort of like a line in terms of...
And eventually George Segal's energy gets a lot more like desperate and angry.
Right. So, I mean...
Because he doesn't know how to like... function in this life.
So this is an Altman, and I know he is capable of this sort of subtlety or like forethought or whatever, but like, does that seem intentional or is it sort of like
there's a couple of really good like actor shifts where George Segal does like a like really good job or Elliot Gould does a really good job. But in general, I think that probably it's like sort of Altman's choices in terms of the direction and the editing that sort of makes sure that you know that it's sort of a downward slide.
I mean, it's I always think about this thing. Like we just talked about that one orange scene, and it's like again, 50 years after this movie came out, it's like that has to be. That this is what you're hoping for as a director or an editor or anybody that involved in this thing, right? It's like somebody noticed that thing 50 years later and went, that was pretty good. That was really great.
That was pretty fun.
Like that is the metric for success in my mind for like, you did a thing that affected people like in a timeless manner. Very fun.
So the character development is really the important part of the movie, and just seeing the slide as and you can pick up on the shift in energy and like it's
seems good.
Do you have things about the movie specifically, or should we move to just some of the weird trivia?
Just get into that weird trivia, because like other than like the unfortunate way that of course they treat women, but
the less we talk about those portions, the better. Like there is a specific portion in this movie that is kind of like, if this weren't here, I would like this movie a lot.
You guys said 1974, and then also words like sex workers and things like
there's a famous world champion poker player in this.
Amarilla Slim.
What? Oh yeah, so no, he's like actually kind of cool. So this goes into the trivia sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay. So before, I guess, so George Segal wasn't a gambler before this movie, and Altman was like, "Well, you need to understand what it's like to lose your own money gambling." So he set up a poker game.
God damn it! This is like Ed Norton and Rounders. Like this is the same fucking story.
Really? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So Altman set up a poker game and was like, hey, George, you're going to play against Amarilla Slim and these other like actual poker players and Elliot Gould, because you can't keep him away from the action.
Well, right. And also you have to bring your own money and you're going to lose
it
for sure.
Yes. That was it. And he's like, and you have to use your own money. Except here's the thing. Even though he wasn't a gambler, I guess George Segal like grew up playing cards. Oh. So he's actually good at cards and also got on a hot streak, and he took them all for a ton of money.
Whoa, that's fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Like he actually won, even though like Amarillo Swim was like a world champion. He had won several hundreds of.
He had a lot of bracelets,
dollars, right?
Right. As the our high school days would have been aware of.
Okay.
But he's been to a lot of rainbow parties. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh. is that a thing?
So. Kane Hodder, I'm sure you'll notice we didn't mention him at all.
Haven't done any of that.
He gets credited in the movie, and I believe his character has a name. He is an extra. He is visible in two shots.
I'm gonna look up when he was born. It has to have he had to have been like a teenager in this.
Well,
I think
he has a story about this.
Oh, okay.
So apparently he was in college at the time. And was like miserable. And he's like, I think I want to get into like the film business, because he was, I think, like 19. And he heard that they were bringing in extras for this movie that was filming near where his college was. And so he says, I skipped my advanced French course, which I was failing anyway.
I mean, why would you take that in college? Yeah, sure.
And I rode my bicycle over to the set, and I got there and I found out it was a gambling movie, and I was worried they wouldn't let me into the casino because I was underage, right. But yep. They never asked to see my ID, mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, and he's in Two Shots. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun. That's really fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
then there's one more.
He's Reno. One more weird casting. He's Reno player number one.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh. So he's in that
Reno
casino.
Reno poker yeah. player.
So I cast see. Him as Nightmare Libertarian guy in my movie, and he feels like he would suck, but he is. I think everything I've read about him, he is a genuinely cool dude. Like, he had a very...
Well, that's awesome.
He has a very famous accident where he, like, burned 60% of his body or whatever. And, like, he has a bunch of, like, skin grafts and stuff. And but keeps doing, you know, horror stuff. And
right, yeah.
Yeah, like, he just seems like he'd be shitty, but he seems to be an actual very cool person.
He spends
and that makes
a
me
lot
very
of
happy.
Time at dealing with children at burn centers and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, he does. And oh, everybody wow. that's ever met him, like, he goes to the cons and stuff, and everybody that's ever met him has said, like, he will take all the time in the world to talk to you. He's, like, a very cool guy. Like, does all the things that he doesn't look like he would do. Which
yeah, no,
makes
he's,
me
he,
very
he is
happy.
Still an avid poker player, which is interesting. But he... Well,
it hooks you in, I guess. Yeah,
yeah, and he's a juggalo. Which
is he?
Yeah,
well, that changes things a little bit.
Well, you know, I don't know because I'm.
It's a very accepting.
I'm so
they are. They really are. Yeah,
because they yep. are very, very like, hey, be yourself. Like,
and also we are weirdly accepting of a lot of things that you didn't think we might be accepting
yeah.
of.
Yeah. My friend Nick, who has been on the show,
yeah.
is a freelance journalist, and he has been to more than one gathering to write stories about it. And the thing he says about the gathering is, I've never felt more welcomed by strangers in my entire
yeah.
life.
I was gonna say I've been to a lot of Dave Matthews shows, and not friend of the show, Kristen has been to a lot of Fish shows, and I bet the gathering is way cooler than either of those things.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I suspect, yeah. At least, like, I mean, not having the experience, but, like, Juggalos seem like we have made fun in the past, and we continue to
It's impossible
fun.
Not to, yeah, of course.
But also, like, it's about, like, hey, you're a maligned person.
Yep. Like, Slipknot fandom is also about this thing, too, where it's like, yeah. hey, we were all nerds, and then we put the masks on, and we sing, like, angry music, but, like, actually, we're all just, like, you know, children. Like, we all just yeah. want to be loved and, like, have a good time. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And so, yeah. like, you know, I can actually appreciate anybody oh, yeah. who is a participant in the Juggalo culture in that regard, because, like,
yeah.
It seems great for the people actually involved in it. So
it does. And in summary, Kane Hodder, I think, fucking rules.
Like, yeah, it turns out
he's,
that
he's great.
Real, real
that's
fucking
really cool.
good dude.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's really cool to hear. Mm-hmm. So, couple quick, just more trivia things. Mm-hmm. Apparently, this had been in development for a little while before it got to Altman, mm-hmm. and a very young Spielberg was going to be the original director.
Right,
74.
Probably like 72,
yeah.
so like this is around the time yeah. he did like Sugar Land Express.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. So it's before Jaws, yeah.
Holy mm-hmm. shit. No kidding. Okay. Yeah.
Here we're going to move into some weird stuff. There's an actress in this movie, Barbara Ruick, who the movie is dedicated to.
Ooh.
She plays the bartender in the Reno poker scene at the end.
Okay.
She had a cerebral hemorrhage in between shooting days and
Whoa.
Died while the movie was filming.
Yeah.
Right. So they, yeah.
Woof.
So they dedicated the movie to her.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
She was good in the few scenes that you actually see her in. But
sure.
Yeah. And I don't know that she would have had a bigger part, but, you know.
Along yeah. those lines, I know of Altman vaguely. I don't know about him as a person. Is he cool or is he not cool? I don't honestly know.
I've heard some conflicting things, although, like, the uncool
okay.
stuff, I've never heard anything
like genuinely like upsetting.
Yeah, just
sure.
like he might have sucked, I think, is what
mm-hmm.
he was part of Hollywood in the 70s. That seems
yeah.
plausible. Yeah, but
yeah.
like
when Shelley Duvall went to do I think The Shining, he was like,
yeah,
okay, well, I'll never work with you again, because she had been his, like, she had only made Altman movies up to that point.
Oh, that sounds not great. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then he brought her back anyway to do Popeye because who else was going to play olive oil?
Yeah.
Like,
sure. Yeah.
She is that person. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure. Like, and then if there was
I don't know.
Generally.
Yeah. I don't know enough about him. And one last thing, and this one is weird. So Anne Prentice, she plays one of Elliot Gould's roommates in the movie. Mm-hmm. In real life, she died in prison after spending like 20 years in jail. And what happened was she made a bunch of like apparently very credible threats against her father's life. Whoa. And while she was like, I guess in county waiting trial, she tried to get a hitman and organize three people, like her sister, her brother-in-law, and her dad. She tried to organize multiple hits in her own family.
Uh-huh.
Whoa, that escalated very quickly.
Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Her sister is Paula Prentice, who is also an actress.
Okay.
This
is the only kind of thing that, like, somebody who was her cousin logged into IMDb and was like, I got some shit to talk about on this movie.
Isn't that weird? Yeah,
that is extremely weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not material to the movie in any way, but very interesting for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And one of the people, her brother-in-law, one of the people that she was apparently put a hit out on or tried to, director of a movie we've covered on the show, My Favorite Year.
Mm. So,
no shit.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah. Weird. Mm-hmm. It all comes around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hoofer doofers.
Okay.
Right. So. Yeah. I mean, that's all I got. Like, that, I just thought that was some interesting, weird shit.
Yeah. There's some weird shit surrounding this. Yeah.
Usually the IMDb trivia is like, there's a song in this movie, it's in that other movie, and they, you're like, why would anyone ever care about that?
Sure. Well, a bulk of the trivia for this movie is like, there's cards in the movie, and did you know that cards were invented in ancient Mesopotamia?
Right, exactly. Or like, you know, there has to be a screen.
And they were also in that weird magician movie that you guys love.
Mm-hmm.
The Prestige!
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, no, Now You See Me.
Now You See Me, that's the one.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
We do both love that movie, that is true.
I think it's fine. I feel like I clarify that every time.
I guess
in my mind, we both love.
Yeah, I feel like feel like in my mind, I was under the understanding that you both loved it, but apparently you don't. And so
I feel
a little betrayed.
Maybe I'll go rewatch the duology tonight. Just
everyone is a little betrayed right now, but like that's cool.
Speaking of not cool Now You See Me stuff, did you see Woody Harrelson is anti-vax? It doesn't surprise me at all.
That's my new persona.
But you can be the better.
Oh, that's
version.
True.
Oh,
yeah,
I can't be the better persona of Woody Harrelson,
I feel like you just said fursona, not persona.
He did several times.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very different thing.
Well, that's really big where he lives. Yeah. You know that.
I think that's big most.
Like there, it's specifically like
it's
famously
true. It is a famously important thing around here, but mostly
very welcoming city.
Mostly, I'm just
Minneapolis.
I miss it so much.
Anyway, should we get to ratings?
Yeah, absolutely.
Almost certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, geez.
This kind of sounds like a, you guys said initially, Seth said you would love it. Lee said you would hate it. I feel like I probably would not enjoy this movie, but it feels like it probably had okay ratings, like pretty okay to good.
Yeah. Well, so I can actually talk to that a little bit. Apparently they had a really hard time figuring out how to market it. Mm-hmm. So it didn't stay in theaters very long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much it cost, but it made $5 million, but then it ended up being on like a bunch of critics top 10 lists for the year at the end of the year and it had like a resurgence after that.
So the IMDb is a 7.1.
Oh my god.
All right. Let's just get into the ratings. I'm gonna go first.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
In this case, first is spelled f-u-r-s-t.
We can't do this thing.
Regardless, the original movie.
You kept saying fursona.
Oh, well, I don't really have any interest in that. So, the original, you know, it's kind of fun. It's slow. and
oh, it's from the 1970s. Yeah.
Oh, sure, sure. And like, I love George Segal, and I love Elliot Gould to the degree that he's like a little skeezy all the time.
Have you ever seen those pictures of him and Barbara Streisand on their honeymoon? My God.
Uh-oh. He was married to Barbara Streisand? Damn! Uh-huh. Get it, Elliot!
Yeah.
Get it!
Yeah. There's like, there's this really famous one of them like in the pool at whatever resort they were at, and he's got her on his shoulder. It is. They look amazing.
I just always picture him. I went to a lot of bar and bat mitzvahs, and I picture him as weird uncle at the thing that like was a little too drunk, but like in a fun way.
I think Friends did a lot of that because he plays Monica and Ross's dad on Friends, and sure, he is like that character.
Yeah, where you're like, normally that would be annoying, but like you own it and it works for you for some reason.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, he was incredibly handsome in his day.
Oh no, sure. I mean he's incredibly handsome. Like I agree. Mm-hmm.
He just always looks sweaty and dirty and like he's gonna do something.
Yeah, like, and that's gonna and that's more like sort of how he wants to present himself, not necessarily like any other issues.
Certainly in this movie,
like he wants to be seedy. So the original, I'm going to give it 7. Actually, I actually enjoyed this quite a bit.
You love to see it. Okay. We don't do those very often, so nice.
Zach, with your California split in four parts.
Cleft in twain and asunder, yes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I love a disaster movie. I love how economical you are about using footage from other films.
I like that's the main point that you took from that, because it was intended to do that thing. Yes.
Yeah. Generally just it seems like a fun premise. You get an 8.
Ooh, okay, love to see it. All right,
great stuff. One more quick trivia. George Segal noodles around on piano a few scenes in this movie and sings some like ragtime songs, and that was because he had just released a ragtime album and he was like trying to like low-key promote
that. That is fucking baffling.
Imagine having that conversation with Robert Altman where you're like, can I just get real quick, and he's like,
can I just like fuck around a little bit?
Yeah. He's like, whatever, I'm gonna be recording all the sound in the world for this.
It's kind of my
so
thing.
It's fine. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, real movie. It's a great hangout movie, other than those
it
scenes.
It is a
really
great hangout movie. I think this would be a great movie to watch as a group.
Sure.
Oh, I was thinking of it. I don't disagree. I meant that more in the sense of like, this is a movie about people hanging out.
Oh. Trainspotting. Way to make me look like an asshole.
I don't think you're wrong. I just think we thought about it in different ways.
Oh, like I want to like watch this as a group and be like, "What the fuck?
He's just throwing oranges."
That goes for like
they're on an escalator.
That's like most movies, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true.
I watch a movie, I go, "I'd like to watch this with my friends and goof on it."
I wish my boys were here. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, my heart. That's how I feel all the time.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, if anybody would like to get me something, that picture of the three of us on that hike, I would love that in a frame.
Oh, fuck. Like, it is really good. We should get that to Marielle so she could twitsters it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really nice time. Yeah.
So the real movie, I really enjoy. I think it would be higher for me if not for the parts that I wish weren't in it. So I'll give it a 7. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you describe all movies. Like, there's always one thing in there where you're like, ugh.
I know, but like they age very poorly. The things
that
we didn't describe
again
because
50
we didn't want to.
Years ago. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I guess.
Fair. That's fair. But
there's movies from 50 years ago that don't do that.
Yeah,
you know,
2001.
Plausibly, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Or Holy Motors, which does the opposite.
Unfortunately recent.
Yeah, it does the opposite.
Okay. Zach, your movie. I'm going to jump on this train karate. I'll give you an 8 as well.
Okay. Jump on
train
that train
karate. You absolute bitch. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate it. But
I wasn't I wasn't messing around. I truly thought those were the words.
Sure.
I didn't know why. I just thought, like, yeah whatever. Okay. It sounds cool.
I understand. Uh-huh. One of these things that makes me very happy is you lived easily 20 years of your life thinking that come on, ride the train, karate was the thing that happened after the words, come on, ride the train.
Consistently, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. 20 years. Wait, so 20 years.
What is it, though? What is it actually?
And ride it.
And ride it.
Oh, wow.
And that ride it. So
much listen, yeah. Listen to it. It's plainly clear. Very clear.
All right.
That's good times.
Okay. Yeah. Well, good times, great oldies.
They do.
We should wrap up. Huh?
Next time, Seth is going to do a movie that I think Lee and I aren't super psyched about watching. Maybe kind of psyched.
I'm not. Listen,
there's worse.
I think it's going to be one of those things that I will open up my Windows 98 browser thing that I downloaded and play solitaire while watching.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I think we are going to go into it with preconceived notions, and after it, we're going to go, yep. That was the thing.
Oh, no.
Seth, the movie is called School of Life.
School of Life, not School of Rock, not,
nope.
I don't know.
Not any of the other more famous movies. It is,
not any other phrase you can think of, because we told you what the title is already.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. just steal the wind from my sails, like the opposite of any 1980s like ballad. So
just call me Bizarro Bette Midler, because I am not the wind beneath.
Yeah, exactly. Like, boy,
that song. So when I was a child, we used to all clean the house on like Sunday, I think, and like me and my sister had like little tiny chores, and my parents did like the actual chores. But my dad was really into that era of music, and that Bette Midler song played, I think, every fucking Sunday for like many years.
That sounds
traumatic. No,
traumatic.
It's like the one good memory I have of this time period.
Uh-oh.
Really nice. Just echoing through the house, like Bette Midler yeah, I love her. She's great.
Growing up, when I was a church-going lad, the priest at my church really loved that song too, and he used to have the choir. My mom was in it. He used to request. He used to request that they perform that song.
Hang on.
From time to time.
Side question. If I become a priest, can I just make 30 people sing any song that I want?
It turns out, yeah. Because
that is a real game changer career-wise.
So he would ask them from time to time to perform it. And every time they did, he would, you know, he'd get up and he goes, you know, I know that's not a religious song, but it should be.
Oh. Father, please.
And on a positive note, when the
that's
diocese
positive too, like
on an additional positive note, when the diocese that I grew up in released the list of sexual predators that they had suppressed for decades, his name was not on it. So that's wonderful.
Okay,
you do love to see it.
That's some great plausible deniability I have for the rest of my life.
Well, on that positive note, I guess I'll watch what she's watching.
Mm-hmm. What would Bizarro Bette Midler look like?
I thought we had the cut, but now we have the cut.
The cut. Holy shit.
Hoofa doofa. Just. Excellent.